I am from beyond. Listen, and all you desire will be yours. Welcome to Spider-Dan and the Secret Wars. Prepare for battle.
Welcome to Prattle World. I am your host, the ever-amazing, ever-spectacular Spider-Dan, and in this podcast, I spotlight entertainment's best-kept secrets that a mainstream audience may find boring. And I'm back for day two of, again, recording on day three, but about day two of the Forbidden Worlds Film Festival 2023 here in Bristol. And what another great day. It was amazing. Absolutely exactly what I wanted. I just made in time the first viewing of the first film within an inch of my life. I had to post about the podcast I just released yesterday. So I made it just prior to watching the very first film, which was Prey, 1977. So this is not anything to do with Predator, though it is about an alien, and it is about someone who can sort of disguise themselves, but there you have it. It is a psychosexual melodrama about these two lesbian lovers who are having some issues, some relationship issues. And then this man disguised, well, alien disguised as a man, comes into their lives and is kind of learning about humans and what they do and how they interact and what they're like, kind of studying them from afar and then close. And he's almost kind of like a cat creature or a lion man, whatever you want to call him. He's kind of some sort of feline character, alien creature. But yeah, it's very odd. It's very hard to describe. You kind of have to see it to get it. But it basically, it's kind of almost like, I don't know, a proper art house drama. It's got some very intense sex scenes in it for a 70s film as well. And again, it was very rare, even I think in the 70s, to have I wouldn't say it's sexploitation, but it borders on that. But the performances are very over the top, very intense, I'd say. And the crowd kind of reaction was kind of positive. And yet, you know, they were chuckling at quite a lot of the performances. They are intense. They're very full on, quite theatrical in so many ways. But I did quite like it in a weird way. It's very odd. And again, very hard to describe. Even the gentleman introducing it was really struggling to not spoil it, not give it away. I think this film would have worked regardless of the alien aspect. But I guess that's what you sell it on. But there is very, it's very rare to see any kind of, it's very rarely you see the alien or the alien in action, but there's kind of enough of it to keep you there. But I imagine that was probably because that's what sold the film. I don't know if maybe that film would have been made otherwise if it didn't have that alien content in there, because it is this kind of Chekhovian kind of family drama, trauma, secrets, very, very obsessive kind of couple. This young Canadian lady has a house there and a family died, and this other young lady came to live with her, a bit older, a bit more mature, and very intense, it's a little bit ahead of its time, I think, because there's this kind of, she's trapped, the young Canadian girl is beautiful, lovely, kind, sensitive, emotional, and there's a the other partner, I can't remember the characters' names off the top of my head. I've slept since then, but she is very kind of trying to find the word today. Kind of restrictive. The alien describes her as an animal in a cage, and yeah, it's interesting because there's a bit of kind of there's a almost a bisexual love triangle going on. She's kind of an abusive, I think abusive is probably, there's another word for it, but kind of abusive, doesn't let her go out, doesn't let her do anything, very restrictive. Again, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but yeah, it's kind of, she's not letting her go out, not letting her see other people, kind of very, very abusive, controlling character in this. So yeah, it was very interesting to see how that all played out. I won't spoil it. I think it might be available somewhere. Maybe it's even on YouTube. I don't know. I know there was a release not so long ago of it. But yeah, I found it interesting. It's not going to go down in one of the greatest films of all time, but I think it did look good. There's a few quite hilarious moments. The biggest, I shit you not, the biggest fucking switchblade I've ever seen in my life. It's like the size of my forearm, the switchblade. It's insane how big that is. And that's before she opens it up. And it's just bizarre to see such a large, it's almost comedic, the size of this switchblade. It's bizarre. But yeah, there's a few kind of scenes of obviously this animal man, this lion man, as I'm going to call him, kind of calling. It's very low budget, so you don't see any like spaceships or anything like that. It's basically, oh, we saw some lights, and then he's got a bit of tinfoil that he's like is a communicator of some kind, speaking to his planet. But yeah, I quite enjoyed it for what it was. I went in with a very open mind. It's definitely not for everybody, but it was something bizarre, unique, and a bit of fun as well. But yeah, there was a lot to enjoy. It's very melodramatic, very, you know, over the top acting and performances. It is more like a play, I'd say, more than anything else. You even get they even dress this man up. The man who is the alien is kind of pretending to have kind of memory issues, or he's confused about things, and that's how he's kind of bypassing them as not being an alien. But there's some really interesting moments where the older kind of lesbian lover is trying to, you know, keep all men away from her lover, the younger Canadian woman, and it's, you know, it's found out that she's escaped a mental institution, which they believe the young man has as well. But yeah, I won't spoil the film in total, but I'd check it out if you're up for something a bit weird and you know, something that'll make you laugh. But yeah, it's one of those. If you're up for those kind of weird films like I am, I love my weirdness, all of the weirds, give it a go. But I think it's not going to be for everybody, and some people will say the acting's poor, which it is on occasion. It's not a film where I've probably heard the word bitch quite a lot in films, but I think it's said in this quite a lot, and by women to other women. So yeah, it's very unique. It's kind of a little groundbreaking, I guess, in a way, because it's somewhat positive, you know, lesbian protagonists or bisexual protagonists, which was probably quite rare at the time, and with it not being, you know, gratuitous. Or I mean, there are sex scenes, there is nudity, but I wouldn't say it was gratuitous. I think they're needed for the characters, you know. And I think, you know, for the time, I actually think, considering I watch Kitty at Party and Studs, which is a proper full-on kind of softcore porno, I actually think the sex scenes in this were quite effective. And they, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily how lesbians have sex. I've never had lesbian sex. I'm never going to have lesbian sex. But I thought it was good. This is big hilarious slow motion scene of the lion man almost drowning, and the two lesbian lovers have to go in and try and save him, and it goes on forever. It's in slow-mo, but I think it's out on like a Blu-ray, or I'm not sure if it's necessarily a restoration, but apparently some of the actors got ill after filming this, because it was just one shot and they kept filming. You see the actors getting muddy water in their mouths and probably full of diseases and dirty germs and things. So Yeah, but it looked good. The like every drop of water, like it just it came on the IMAX screen. It looked great. Like again, it's funny, it's stupid. It's like it's probably not even. He could just stand up and he wouldn't be drowning. It's one of those kind of like ponds or lakes or whatever you want to call them. But yeah, so if you're up for a bit of fun and you don't take it too seriously, I think you can enjoy this and get something out of it. The ending is a bit abrupt, but that is, I think, most 70s films anyway. Okay, moving on to, I think, my favourite film of the day, Royal Warriors. So this is a Michelle Yeoh's second ever film she made, and I think it's fucking brilliant. I think if you are an action movie aficionado, you need to see Royal Warriors. It is fantastic. I think the action is great. The story is strong. The characters are really fun. They're all very young and kind of beautiful people, the lead characters as well. And it's fun. And Michelle Yeoh is doing her thing. You know, she doesn't put up with any shit. Men, like creepy men coming on to her. She doesn't, you know, put up with that or anything like that. It opens great as well. Like there's this, Michelle Yeoh's just at a kind of a festival or a carnival or something. Oh, loads of street performers, she's taking photos, and all of a sudden these guys want to kill this guy who's a chef and has quit their gang, and she gets stuck in the middle. And there's a lot of humor to it, so there's a bit of that Jackie Chan element where it's a bit funny and a bit fun. But yeah, and there's a lot of humor, there's a lot of fun. The characters are great. The martial arts is utterly fantastic. I think the story, again, for a good martial arts film, it needs to be nice and simple. And it is that. It's straightforward. Three people stop a hijacking of a plane. Again, if you're sensitive about, you know, plane hijackings or things like that, if it's not for you, fair enough. I get it. Like, in this day and age, a lot of trauma related to that sort of stuff. But back in the mid to late 80s, you know, obviously those type of things are very rare. And yeah, it was it's really fun. So you've got an air marshal, you've got Michelle Yeoh's like Hong Kong police, but like I think there's a special group she's a part of. She's called, they nickname her Big Sister over there. And I think that she's loved and everyone likes her, apart from, oh, the police captain, police commissioner. Oh, you're going outside the rules. You're a renegade. How are you doing these things and getting results? I don't like the way you work. You're fired. You're off the case. All of those kind of simple, stereotypical kind of tropes you see in kind of police action movies. So we have lots of characters. So we do have, which is interesting as well. It's not just kind of like Michelle Yeoh, you might not know, is Malaysian. So we've got a lot of Chinese actors in there as well. But also you've got the actor from, he's basically in everything. I know he's in the latest John Wick. He basically plays a samurai in everything. I'm just going to look up his name because I think he's great. I can never get enough of him. His name is Hiroyuki Sanada. He's in the film. He's very young, very handsome, and he plays a Japanese cop who's quit, and he's meeting up with his estranged wife and child because they're trying to work it out. They've got what's quite good about it as well, it doesn't tell you that kind of straight away. It lets you kind of discover that as things are going on, and Michelle Yeoh's character kind of discovers it quite early on. And you've got this bumbling character, I think his name was Michael Wong, that's it, and he plays Michael Wong. It was a little weird because Michelle Yeoh's character is called Michelle, Michael Wong's character called Michael, and then Hiroyuki's character is called Peter Yamamoto. So I guess they all wanted the kind of English names just for the international audience, I guess. Who knows? But yeah, it is absolutely brilliant. It becomes this kind of vengeance film because the people they stop and kill on the airplane want revenge because they're in this kind of brotherhood. They've been in the war. There's this blood bond between them. They're like blood brothers, and they protect each other or avenge each other because they say they are destined to die together, or if they don't, then they have to avenge them. So it's a series of kind of battles and adventures and hostage situations and shootouts and amazing martial arts. guys, if you've not seen Royal Warriors, get on it. I know that I just bought the Eureka release, I believe, that they put out recently because I wanted to see it. But when I found it was on the big screen, the same release, then I just thought, fuck it, I'll watch on the big screen. Absolutely worth the wait. I might even go home and watch it again because I thought it was that good. But yeah, I love the there's a lot of cultural kind of stuff. There's translations and there's some fun to be had there. The humor's good, it works. And yeah, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. It's got everything I want. Hiroyuki starts wearing like a leather jacket, and when he wants revenge, then Michelle Yeoh wants revenge at one point, so she puts on this black gear. She's also got like a science lab for some reason. This particular inspector has her own lab, and she comes out with this big armored car at the end. Brilliant, lots of fun. Highly, highly recommend. If you haven't seen Royal Warriors, get on it. Just watch it. It's brilliant. I think it's I want to say it's directed maybe by David Chung. David Chung directed. So there we are. But yeah, I absolutely highly recommend. Favorite film of the day. Hadn't seen it before. So yeah, loved it. If you're looking for a Michelle Yeoh film, but you want a few other characters there as well, a few other great actors, they're all in there, and they're brilliant. It's a lot of fun. It's got everything you want in a martial arts or action movie. It's got gunfights, it's got derring do, it's got car chases, it's got, you know, martial arts, it's got everything you want. And then the story is good as well. The story really works. It, you know, it's not overly complicated, but it does what it needs to do. And I think my favorite martial arts films, when the script and the story doesn't get in the way of the action too much, like it's, you know, it's straightforward, A to B, a few twists and turns here and there, but that's just enough to keep me going. And yeah, I think it's brilliant. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. Get on Royal Warriors if you haven't, from 1986. I believe it's also known as In the Line of Duty 1. But those films are very, very loosely connected, I think. So, but yeah, Royal Warriors, if you haven't seen it, just watch it. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to Michelle Yeoh. If now's the time, she won the Oscar. Let's go back and appreciate her work, which is what this festival is doing. It's part of their legend kind of lineup. Again, I'm really enjoying the festival itself. They had some people selling cakes and hot dogs today, which was very handy because there's not that much time between films to sort yourself out for food. So that's why I was like, all right, I've got to get on something before I die. And yeah, absolutely amazing quality food. There was another stall there selling some other stuff, I believe. Lots of other things. People are all lining up. It's, again, the turnaround for the films is quite hectic. So you usually have about half an hour if you're lucky. I think today and Saturday it's going to be a little bit more spaced out with it being the weekend. But apart from that, it's been really good. What I've really enjoyed as well is, apart from the special introductions, which I'm going to get into in a second, we've been getting these little clips. So you get the house rules, you come up on screen, but before that, they show a very famous film scene that's been set in a cinema. So we got a clip from Demons, The First Night. There's an American Werewolf in London. I believe one of the Nightmare films was there as well, set in a cinema. So loads of clips, and I think they're really, really good because it's kind of showing that, again, it's a reminder you're in a cinema, you're watching cool films, and also it's a reminder to follow the house rules or things either come and get you. And the text is different every time, so, you know, in relation to the film. And, you know, I've covered Demons before, love that, and yeah, absolutely love that aspect. And what also they've been doing as well is they're showing the classic trailers for these films and saying what else is coming up in the festival. So if you've only tuned in for, you know, one of the films, if you only come down for one of the films, then you can get an idea of what another film is like. I think during Royal Warriors or Prey, they showed a clip of a trailer for Amsterdam, which is on this evening, which I'm looking forward to. Again, I've never seen that. I've heard some things about it, good things. So hopefully it will make up and will hopefully live up to the trailer is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, it's brilliant. Been really enjoying it. Everyone's, again, polite, lovely. The hosts are good. They all also personally introduce the films as well. And again, they'll go over the house rules or say if there's anything specific we should know, like the first, like the Royal Warriors, not Royal Warriors, the I'll get onto the rest of them, but there's specific things they have to say and do and introduce and what have you. So yeah, but it's really cool that they're doing this. They've done an excellent job. I know Dark Corners, who's a YouTuber I follow, is really and a couple of guys really, but the host of it, the main guy who's on the YouTube channel, is coming. I think he came last night, I want to say, or he's coming today, I can't remember, but he's a cool guy, and I watch his stuff, and he's going to be there. Yeah, it's brilliant. Everyone's so positive about it. There's been a lot of good stuff online. It's got a real big following, I think. I think it's going to be, hopefully, next year. You know, Way of the Dragon that I went to was almost sold out. They were so much so, they were like, everyone squeeze up, squeeze in, get everybody in. So yeah, I don't think we needed to do it that much, but I think they just wanted that because everybody wants. I've noticed as well that most of the seats are all taken up at the back, like very early on. So I've been sitting mostly at the front within the first three or four rows, which I'm fine with actually. I don't mind because I can still see it. It doesn't hurt my neck or anything. So, but yeah, I think they're doing a great job continuously. So it's been going really well. So what else did we watch? Okay, so Gremlins. They played Gremlins as well after Royal Warriors, which is, again, very different film. And I very much like Gremlins. Gremlins 2, The New Batch, I think it is my preferred one because it's basically just Joe Dante just doing a Looney Tunes cartoon. And he, you know, says it's going to be a Looney Tunes cartoon because he has the Looney Tunes at the beginning of the film during the Warner Bros. Logo. Not the funniest skit, I'll be honest, of Looney Tunes, but... but the animation was good and fun. But yeah, once you get into the film, I love it. It's a very zany, wacky, goofy, surprisingly violent in places as well. It's basically Joe Dante going. It's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. It's a send up. It's a parody almost of or a pastiche of the original film that they did. Like Tobe Hooper did the same with Texas Chainsaw 2, and I love Texas Chainsaw 2, and I love Gremlins 2 as well. I think the first one is very good, and again, you know, Joe didn't want to do the same thing, neither did Toby, so they went, right, let's take all these tropes, spin them on the head, you know, and just play with it a bit more, have a bit of fun, and that's what they did, and that's why, you know, some people maybe don't like it as much, and Joe Dante even introduced the film as well, and he said that it's been shown a lot more love in recent years as opposed to when it came out. But yeah, I think if you are going into it knowing it's just a fucking live-action cartoon, that's all you need to know. Yeah, it doesn't make sense this, and it doesn't make sense that, and it's, you know, the plot is very, very, very thin. But I like the characters. I like John Glover is in it, who I adore. I think he's one of my favourite actors out there. He's almost like he's playing his character from Scrooged. Like, he's just gotten really far up, but he's not as smarmy or as horrible as that. He's kind of more like it's probably quite ahead of its time, actually, Gremlins 2, because again, it is obviously the gremlins get into the machinery. That's the idea, you know, of gremlins. Oh, this machine is working. Oh, it's the gremlins, you know. But this is a fully automated building. The revolving doors don't work, so they have to use the regular doors. They've got this voiceover, they've got a talking elevator, you know, it's all this other stuff. It's fully mechanized, fully automated, and yeah, it kind of almost looks like the Victor Von Doom building from the Fantastic Four when they go in there. It's almost exactly the same. But I quite like his character because he's not completely evil. Like, he's not a corrupt, because that would be the stereotype, this corrupt evil businessman running, and that of the 80s was a big thing. It's almost like it's saying something about the yuppies and all that on the Wall Street kind of stuff going on, but also just like, how useless is this? And like, this is going out of business and this isn't working, and they've moved my TV show to a different time slot, blah blah blah. But yeah, and you get the same characters come back, so there's a sense of continuity. I think Dick Miller dies in the first one. I can't remember. It's been a while, but I believe he may have died. But again, that's them having a bit of fun. They obviously want Dick Miller back because he's a regular for Joe Dante films, and they were just like, yeah, let's just get him in. So I think they just kind of ignore that he actually died. A bit of retroactive continuity there. I couldn't remember. It's been a while since I've seen at least the beginning of the film, so I couldn't remember if they gave back Gizmo, but I think I do remember them giving back Gizmo at the end of the first film, because they can't take care of him, or they're not quite ready yet or something. I can't remember, but it's been a while. But yeah, it's fun, it's stupid, there's a lot of wacky elements. I like the Rambo. I forgot how cute Gizmo is as well, and I know Joe Dante has said Baby Yoda is a ripoff of Gizmo, and I kind of understand what he's saying. I kind of get what's happening there. Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to see any money because of that, and I think because Yoda was already an established character, and they can't really imagine what a baby version would look like. But I can see what he means. There's definitely something there that, you know, I don't know. But that's Joe's battle to make, if he's going to get that or get any money from that. I doubt it, but there you are. But yeah, I love Gremlins 2. I love a lot of the humor's great. It doesn't always land for me, but I think 9 times out of 10, it probably lands. And it's just, again, very goofy, very weird, very over the top. You know, I like the Rambo elements. I like, Howie Mandel's Gizmo actually works. You know, I think sometimes Howie Mandel and his performances can come across a bit much, let's say that. I don't think all of his characters or voices are great, but I think Gizmo does work as a character. I know there's a prequel animated show coming out on Netflix. You better watch it, because they'll fucking cancel it if you don't bloody watch it. So if you want more of it, you better fucking watch it, because that's what Disney are destroying all their shows at the moment. They're just like, right, nobody watch that, put it in the bin, put it in the vault, put it in the bin, whatever, we don't want it on our streaming platform, which I think is a shame. And this is why people should buy physical media. This is exactly why. And I know I'm guilty of not buying it as well, don't get me wrong, but you know, this is exactly why, because if you don't, someone's going to fucking delete it for all time and you're never going to see it again. And once something's properly deleted, it's fucking gone. It's not like, you know, they're going to half do it or half work it. It's fucking gone. Unless we have copies, unless fans keep, films alive. I don't recommend piracy, but, you know, sometimes that's the only way to keep some art forms alive at this point. The restorations and the things like that, you know, the reason they're being done is because, you know, the previous work is, you know, going to be chucked in the bin, or it's been destroyed, or it's lost, or, you know, or it's going to be destroyed. So if you really like something, you know, I'm not saying piracy, but, you know, there are ways and means to save it, and if they do release physical media, you should buy it. And, you know, if you digitize it, put it in your library, then you can't lose it, can you? But they have it. It's, you know, again, if you're buying it digitally, maybe they would delete it as well. You don't know. So there are benefits and things. But anyway, that was a tangent for another time. Okay, so the last film I watched, there was another. So there was Dolls, but as I said, I'd seen that quite recently, so I dipped out of that one. So it was Way of the Dragon. Now, my favourite Bruce Lee movie is Fist of Fury. This is all right. Like, this is the most Bruce Lee of Bruce Lee movies. It's written, directed, produced, starring him. So it's, you know, Bruce Lee's wife's favorite one, because it is the most Bruce Lee of Bruce Lee films that he made. And it does have a quirky sense of humor, which again doesn't quite always land for me. But the action is great, and there's quite a few moments where you look like you're going to see some amazing martial arts, and then he kills your expectations as an audience member, because he knows everyone wants to get to the martial arts. Everybody wants that. So the first sequence where you think you're going to get some martial arts, it kind of pulls the rug out from under you and the audience's expectations, which I enjoyed. I thought very funny, very good. But yeah, there is a lot plot of character. Again, I don't think the plot or the characters are very strong necessarily. It's not my favorite Bruce Lee film. Not to say there's no, I mean, there's a lot of amazing martial arts in there. You've got Chuck Norris and him having amazing fights, which is probably worth the price of admission anyway. Arrow are bringing out their 4K restoration, which is what we got to view. And it looks brilliant on the big screen. Some absolutely great detail there. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, it's a Bruce Lee movie at the end of the day, if you're into that, if you like that. And before that, the Fighting Film Festival's winning short film from a few years ago was played before it. It was called Survivors, and it's about, it's in the UK, these martial artists basically trying to survive the zombie apocalypse and trying to deliver this package. This one guy's trying to deliver this package, and he's shown off his martial arts skills against these zombies. It's absolutely great, so much so that Scott Adkins, who's the advocate of that Fighting Film Festival, he basically saw this, and he said, right, you're going to direct my, I think it's Accident Man 2, so it's the same, I think they're called the Kirby Brothers, and they went on off and directed that for him. So there's, you know, if you're a martial arts fanboy or a martial arts, you know, if you're a martial arts filmmaker, or if you want to show off some talent, show off who you are, what you do, then this is the film festival for you, I think, which is in Birmingham and London they do. So a lot of short films they show. They show some classics as well, like Bruce Lee movies. But yeah, Arrow provided the 4K restoration. It's great. Like, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of kind of weird and wacky characters in there. Very camp villain in there as well, and some other stuff. I think Dave was talking about Bob Wall with the scar on his face. It just looks like a bit of shit, like shit smear scar. I don't know why they needed to add that, but there you are. It just doesn't look very good. But there you have it. But yeah, Way of the Dragon is, you'll have seen it again. He comes to Rome, they fight in the Colosseum, and there's all these other kind of characters that are learning karate. Karate, however you want to pronounce it. But yeah, there's a lot of that as well. But I like it. It's just not my favorite. Like Way of the Dragon's never been remade. Fist of Fury's been made like three times. So that I think that serves my argument that that's the best Bruce Lee film, in my opinion. Obviously, Enter the Dragon is great, but I think for pure Bruce Lee, I felt like Fist of Fury is the one. And again, it's about the guy who trained him. And so there's a bit of that there as well. Jet Li did Fist of Legend, which was a remake of it. And then Donnie Yen did, I want to say it was the Return of Chang-Zi or something like that. But yeah, brilliant. Is Ip Man the same? I think that might be the same guy as well. I think Ip Man is the same guy. So there's this legacy of this one martial arts master. He's constantly being talked about, and there's stories being told about them. I think they're doing another Ip Man film, even though the finale happened. I've only seen the first two, so I kind of need to catch up on those. I do love them though; they're brilliant. Donnie Yen is the absolute goat as well. That's the final day of the festival. I will talk about Dolls a little bit because I've seen Dolls quite recently, but it's a Stuart Gordon film. I was going to do my top five creepy doll movies with Ben, but he didn't manage to watch any, unfortunately, so we just did Dead Silence. But I did mention Dolls at the time because I think it's one of the better ones, and it's quite interesting to see. It's very 80s. There's a bit of a kind of a Roald Dahl feel to it. There's this one kid who's got awful parents, and then there's this man child who she befriends and has a very sweet relationship. Nothing weird. It's just he's very much like a child in a man's body sort of thing, but not in like that he has any disabilities or anything. He's just very innocent. It's just a very innocent guy. It's a fun film, and the dolls' stop motion and the effects are really good, really creepy and off-putting and unsettling. And the plot and the plan behind everything is quite good in a way. It's quite a positive, almost slightly kind of positive villains in a sense. Like, you kind of understand where they're coming from as well. You understand why they've done what they've done and what the dolls are trying to do themselves. But yeah, I think it's one of the better kind of creepy doll movies out there, and there's a lot to take from it. I'm a big fan of Stuart Gordon anyway, like the Reanimator films, From Beyond, you name it. Pretty much anything he's done. Dagon was great. Any of those. He's a big H.P. Lovecraft kind of aficionado as well. So those are always really cool. So yeah, and any of his work I'm down for. And I actually think that's probably one of his most underrated films. I would have watched it again if I wasn't fucking knackered. And also if I hadn't seen it so recently. It was very, very fresh. I only saw it in January, February, before that podcast came out. I think it was one of the first ones I watched. But yeah, really, really, really like that film. So if you're looking for a creepy doll movie, that's one of my favourites, definitely. It probably would have made my list, my top five list. Who knows, I might do that list in the future at some point with somebody else. But there you are, there you have it. But yeah, excellent second day, great stuff. You know, if I wasn't so tired, I definitely would have watched Dolls. But yeah, Shannon Lee also introduced Way of the Dragon as well, which is his daughter, and she was a stunt woman in her own right and runs his organization, his charity. So yeah, and that was amazing to have that introduction as well. Again, Forbidden Worlds are going above and beyond. I wouldn't have expected any of these introductions, but I love the fact that they've managed to wrangle them and get them in there, because it just makes it all the more special to be there and experience that for the first time. You know, it's very rare I go to a film festival as well, and where people are like clapping with absolute joy after the films. And these are films that everybody's seen, everybody knows how they go a lot of the time. You know, not Prey or something like that, but most of these films people will have seen before, and that's why they turn up for them. And again, Way of the Dragon or Terminator, things like that. But the sheer joy that people are getting out of that and you know, and enjoying, you know, I proper belly laughed a lot of the time in some of these, and just how weird and strange they are, but that's what makes them so wonderful and unique. But yeah, and I think that's what makes this festival what it is. You know, you've got these more mainstream kind of culty movies, then you've got these really cult film geek movies, these real deep cuts as well. But it's all good, it's all fun, and I think the variety and the way they've lined them up and the way they've thought about them and where should these movies come, and should it be here for the palate cleanse, should it be here, should it be there, and again they're thinking about the timetable. It gives you at least half an hour to do something outside, like go to the toilet, get a drink, what have you. So yeah, absolutely brilliant, really recommend. Again, what I'm going to do, guys, I'm not going to cover any more of the film festival, because I will, but I'm only going to do it for my patrons on Patreon, because I'm having real difficulty with my hotel's internet, and it's taking me forever just to upload and to edit, and to, yeah, it's a bit of a nightmare. And since these last 2 days, there's so many more films that were on the last couple of days, I'm just not going to have the time. So I'm going to have to do them a little later in the week, hopefully. But yeah, really good stuff. I imagine the rest of the festival, I imagine it's going to be a lot busier today as well. I imagine there's going to be a lot more kind of regular fans and stuff, because it's now the weekend, so people are free. But yeah, I think the general public will be here. And again, people can buy in for a single film. They can buy in for the whole weekend. They can buy in for the day. You know, they've got all those range of possibilities. So yeah, I think it's gonna be a lot busier, so I better get in there and get my seat. But the first film I'm watching today will be King Kong. So this is another 4K restoration, I believe, and I've never seen King Kong. I have never seen this version. I've seen the Peter Jackson version. I've seen the, I think I've seen the 70s version of the World Trade Center and Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange. I'm sure, and I've seen Kong Skull Island and Godzilla vs. Kong. I don't think I've seen the original Godzilla vs. Kong. No, I don't think I have. But there's a lot out there. There's a lot of Kong films out there to watch. So, but this one, it's just one of those which I've never really gotten around to. So yeah, I'm going to do that, and then hopefully I'll be able to tell my patrons. If you're not a patron already, get on the Patreon, because there's a lot of content that nobody else has seen or had access to. So it's an exclusive bit of media, so that you can get lots of podcasts as well, some videos, and also more podcasts and other stuff as well that I've put up there in the past. It's definitely worth going on there. Again, from £3, that's all you have to pay a month, £3, it's nothing really. So I do appreciate all that. So also today we've got the Heroic Trio, so Missing, Return to Oz, King Kong, the Heroic Trio, and then Cliffhanger, and then Amsterdammed in the evening. So yeah, it's going to be an absolute blast. I'm looking forward to Heroic Trio, King Kong, Cliffhanger. Again, I've kind of seen, but I love it, so it's good. You know, it's nothing wrong with that. Rennie Harlin, all good shit. Stallone, you name it. But Amsterdammed, I think, is the one. Amsterdammed and the Heroic Trio looks mental. So I'm looking forward to that. It's kind of a Michelle Yeoh martial arts superhero thing. So yeah, looking forward to all of those. So I'm going to get off, try and edit this, try and get this out before the first film starts. But I appreciate your time, your patience, and I appreciate you listening. And I appreciate all that Forbidden World Film Festival has done this year and continues to do. And hopefully next year will be bigger and better than ever. But yes, again, if you want to hear more of what I feel about these next 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, get over to my Patreon. But I will also leave more specific reviews on my Letterboxd. So go on my website. So you know where that is by now. So that's spiderdan@thesecretboars.com. So that's BORES. So yes, go on there. You know what to do. Click on the things you want to click on. Do the things you want to do. But yes, so thank you for that. Thank you for tuning in again. If you want to join the battalion and to be briefed in full on the Secret Boars, you know where to go. Swing over to Brattleworld on that website. Review, like, share, comment, subscribe. And don't forget to use the hashtag #PrepareForPrattle when you interact with us. Please subscribe to the Pop Culture Collective to find out what myself, Comics in Motion, and all the other related podcasts are up to week by week. And I'd like to thank my patrons on Patreon. I'm Jax Musing, Simon Cotton, Paul Mellor, Max Byrne, Mike Burton, Angry Andy, Tonya Todd, Tony Farina, and Math. Again, sorry for forgetting you the other day, Math, and maybe in a future podcast. I do apologise. My notes have not updated when they should have. Technology. There's gremlins in them. There's gremlins in my phone. That's the reason, Math. I'm so sorry. I apologise. Last time I'll apologise as well before it gets annoying. But thank you for your continuing donations. It is very much appreciated and helps Prattleworld keep on turning. And if you ever find yourself in a position to help the podcast, please consider it. Like I said, if you want to hear what my thoughts on the rest of the festival, get over to Patreon now. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Forbidden Worlds. You have been amazing as per usual. So I'm going to go the way of the dragon and piss right off. See you later. Bye.